Amen. Open your Bibles this morning, if you would, to Genesis chapter 12. Amen. It's good to be here. It's always good to be at Glory Land. And, you know, if I was down in this area, there's no other place I'd be. I know that. Amen. I love you, preacher. I love you, people. Been a blessing to us and our family. And you really don't know how much you been a blessing to our church. Supporting us, and not just financially, but in prayer. And we've just gleaned so much from you folks and learned so much. And I just want to preach this message this morning. I'm thankful for the opportunity. Just a simple thought on being faithful. Just be faithful. And we know the Bible says, moreover, it's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Amen. And I thank God for the faithfulness of His people. When I look back on my life, and I'm sure probably you as well, if you look in your life, you can see how faithful people have impacted you. And I had a grandfather who faithfully preached the Word of God for 35 years. He died with his boots on. He preached his last Sunday, went in the hospital, and died 2 weeks later. I mean, he was a soldier. Amen. Up there in our area, there was no King James Bible believers. You know, there was no, there wasn't a church on every corner like there is down here. And boy, I remember the first time we came down here, driving by and going over there to Brother Matt's house, we just started counting the Baptist churches on our way. I couldn't believe it. And we finally found a guy there that had come up from Ohio that had started a church in the province where that was next door to where we lived. To our knowledge, those were the only two Bible-believing churches within 1,000 miles of each other. And those two men, they stayed faithful to God, and those churches started putting out men and more churches and more preachers. And I think now there's 13 or 14 within a 500-mile radius, and it's a blessing. I thank God for faithful men. And I had parents, good parents, and they were faithful. Amen. They believed that train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. And you know, they trained us and they raised us, and I thank God for that, for faithful people. But you know, our faithfulness to God is being challenged. Amen. All the time we're seeing people falling off. Amen. People going the other way. And we need to be encouraged this morning just to be faithful. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, God, for the privilege of being here in this church. Lord, I thank you, God, for this preacher. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless him. Lord, we're looking, as Brother Jordan said, Father, for something great this week. We're looking to see what you will do, Father. Lord, I pray that we just yield ourselves to you, God. Lord, we'd be ready to receive your word. And bless now in this Sunday school hour, Father, I pray, God, that something said would be a blessing to these folks. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look there in Genesis chapter 12. And let's back it up to chapter 11. Look at verse 31. It says, and Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I want you to notice here, up there in verse number 1, something kind of stuck out to me there. It says in verse 1 that the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Now, this was evidently something God had already told Abraham to do. And so we go back into chapter number 11, and we know what the command of God was. He said, you know, get out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and go to a land that I will show thee. When we get to verse number 1 of chapter 12, we find out that's something that God had already told Abraham to do previously. But we find in verse 31 that it was Terah who took Abram. And that's not what God said. He told Abraham to get out. He told Abraham to go to that land. But here we find Terah takes Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth. I don't know exactly what's going on here, but it seems to me that God told Abraham to do something, and he didn't do it the way God told him to do it. Amen? And we find that, God gave him this commandment, and we find that he takes along a whole bunch of things that God told him not to. Amen? And they get down there into this place called Haran, and they dwelt there. And that wasn't where God wanted them to be. Amen? But that's where they ended up. And it wasn't until God relieved Abram of some of the things that He told him to leave behind way back in Ur of the Chaldees that God took him to that place of promise. And I want to say, we need to be faithful this morning. Don't just be faithful until your family opposes you. You know, some people, they're faithful to God as long as everything's going smooth at home, as long as mom and dad are okay, as long as the wife's okay, as long as the children aren't kicking up a fuss. But just about as soon as they start feeling some opposition from family, they quit on God. Boy, we've seen that more times. As we go along in church, and I haven't been pastoring that long, just been a short time, but I've seen that time and time again, that people love God until it crosses a family member. They'll go to that church until it crosses a family member. Until somebody in the family gets upset. If mom gets upset, or dad gets upset, or wife or sister-in-law gets upset, then everybody gets upset. Amen? Don't just be faithful to God until a family member opposes you. Amen? I don't know what Terah was trying to do here, but he got in the way of God blessing Abram. He got in the way of God taking Abram to that place of promise. Amen? We've seen that many times in Scripture. We've seen Solomon's wives. He served God. He did what was right. He built that temple, and it was a great thing. But it wasn't long before Solomon's wives started turning his heart unto idols. Amen? We see a good example of Moses. He went down there and married that wife, and it seems just like she gave him problems the whole way. Amen? Even when Jethro brought her out there in the wilderness, he ended up leaving her behind to do what God called him to do. Amen? But most time Christians today, as soon as a family member pops up their head and somebody gets bent out of shape, they'll be faithful to God as long as everything's going okay. But some little squabble between kids, I mean foolish things. Just ridiculous things. Amen? Joshua 24 there, he said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Would to God for some good, faithful men that would just take charge in their homes, amen, and say, "Listen, we are going to serve God," amen? Amen. We have people deserting all the time just because a family member gets opposed. I hadn't been there in the church where I'm pastoring. We've been there about a year and a half, and we had this one dear lady, And every Sunday morning, she'd get up and walk out as soon as I went to get in the pulpit. And the way our church used to be set up, there was three windows on the back wall. And I'd look out that back window, and she'd be sitting out there in her car reading a book. And if she could see me catch her eye, she'd take that book and she'd hold it up like this, and she'd go... Man, and her husband was sitting there, and he was all tore up about it. But when push came to shove, when we got talking about it, trying to deal with the problem, he gave up on God. Amen. He wasn't willing to pay the price. Amen. He wasn't willing to do what needed to be done to get things right and address the situation. Instead, he just ran. And boy, I'm finding Christians are really good at that. And then that preacher gets up there and preaches something you didn't like, or somebody gets after your kid, or some little thing happens, and before you know it, gone. I mean, foolish things. Stupid little things. I mean, oh, we're faithful to God. We love our church. We love our preacher. Until he preaches on that specific thing. Or until he says that little thing over there, he gets after your kid or your young person, or he preaches on your sin, and then something changes all of a sudden. Don't just be faithful until your family crosses you. Amen? Look over there in 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. We have a situation here with David and Michal, his wife, in verse 14. See, people get this idea, and listen, I'm all for the family. I grew up in a good family. I have a mom that loves my dad, and my dad that loves my mom, but they love their children. I mean, a good home. But that relationship's not the most important one. Amen? Your relationship with God ought to be first. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14 there. You know this. David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. I mean, here he is. He's having a great time. It's camp meeting. He's shouting. He's praising God, jumping around. And she's just sitting there like... Man, we had this one guy. You got to understand, when we brought Brother Charlie up to our camp meeting the first time, people had never seen it or heard it on that wise. Amen? It was something brand new. Man, I remember it got on one service and people were running the aisles a little bit and stuff. And this one old guy came up to me and said afterwards, I tell you, he said, if somebody runs by me, I'm going to stick out my cane and trip them. You know, that was the attitude. Man, you can tell it. Man, some of them, they got in, they enjoy it, and they love it, but some of them didn't. Amen. Some of them didn't. That's how your church membership goes from 40 to 15. Amen. But man, he was having a good time, praising God. Woo, man, the glory cloud is coming. And she sat there, she despised him. Now, you know there's some opposition from family coming. Amen. Amen. And for some reason, that's usually the way it is. The women, they get all bent out of shape over it. And I only got 7 years of experience, but that's my experience. Amen? No, I'm moving on. Amen. I'm feeling the heat. Says verse 17, they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then look in verse 20, it says, then David returned to bless his household. You know, he'd just been down there, he got a blessing. I mean, he was riding the glory cloud. And he was coming home, and man, he was going to share it all with his family. I mean, he was going to come in there and bless his household. Amen. He wanted to share a little bit of what he'd experienced. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel this day. Yeah, amen. I've been battling this little sinus infection thing, but we'll get through here. It says, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. I mean, she got after him. He was coming home to you know, bless his household. Woo, man, you should have seen what happened at church today. And boy, he got home and she said, oh, how glorious you were. You know, I mean, boy, that was some show, David. I mean, you just dancing around in front of those handmaids. I mean, what a blessing, amen, what a blessing. And he says, I can't even believe he said anything, but he did. He said, it was before the Lord. I mean, she just didn't get it. Which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. You know what most husbands would do? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know what he said? He said, listen, lady. He said, it was before the Lord. He said, I don't care what you say. I will play before the Lord. Amen. We need some faithful men like that. Amen. Whenever a family opposes you, you've got to be faithful anyway. Amen. I got told, a lady told me in our church years ago, she said, your preaching causes me physical pain. You know, our church is not as wide as that front pew. And sometimes I can be a little loud. I know that. She said, I said, I can't change who I am. I preach the way God, you know, put it in me. I sing the way God put it in me. I can't change that. She said, you wouldn't even change if God, if you knew you were causing God's people physical pain. You know, we got a French guy there in our church. He said, you know, Pastor, what we could do? He said, we could... He said, we could put earplug at the back. You know, he's always, you know, just doing stupid stuff like that. That's not all he said, but I can't say some of the things he said. He says in verse 22, David says, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Therefore, Michael, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. And what she had, a fruitless life. But you know, don't just be faithful to God till your family opposes you. Amen. We got to be faithful to God. Amen. Faithful to, you know, who we are and what we are. Amen. And so, don't just be faithful until family opposes you. Then look at something else here in chapter 12 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. You know, that's a big one. And I'm all for the family. But we got this thing up there where we are that, you know, family is everything. And it's not. Sometimes you got to be faithful and stay right with God in spite of your family. I mean, thank God when you can serve God with your family. You know, everybody's on the same page. But when they get off God's page, that's when we got to, you know, make a change. Amen. We got to stay faithful to God, even when family opposes us. Amen? Then something happens here in Genesis 12, verse 10. It says, and there was a famine in the land. The times went from good to hard. Amen? And it says, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. You know, don't just be faithful till there's a famine in the land. Now, I've heard a lot about, you know, how the economy's been suffering and all that down here. I like it when people come to me and say, you know, the economy's so bad. You know what I tell them? It hasn't affected me a bit. It hasn't. Yeah, we pay $7.89 for a gallon of milk up there. We pay $5.50 for a gallon of gas. You think $3 is bad? But you know what? It has not affected me a bit. Because God's faithful, amen. God's faithful. Amen. We don't have to worry about where the next dollar's going to come from. Hey, don't just be faithful till there's a famine in the land. Some people's like that. You know, they things get hard, things get tough, and they don't know how it's going to work out. Stay faithful to God, amen. Trust Him, amen. Amen. Just be faithful to Him. Here, Abraham, there's a famine there in the land, so he decides to go down to Egypt. It's the worst thing he ever did. His son did it after him. He followed his dad's example, amen. And I'll tell you what, We wonder what's wrong with our young people, what's wrong with the teenagers. They're just following your example. They're just doing what they've seen their parents do, what they've seen other people in the church do. Amen? Sometimes I get frustrated. You know, people blame everything on the young people. They see mom and dad doing it. Amen. And what we do in moderation, they will do in excess. Because they haven't been down that road. They don't have that character to be able to say no or stop. They're just doing what you're doing. Amen. Don't just be faithful till there's a famine in the land. Here he jumps ship, runs down there to Egypt, and gets himself in a whole bunch of trouble. Amen. God is faithful. Amen. God will bring you through every time. Don't jump ship just when things get tough, just when things get hard. Amen. Things here in the church, sometimes they'll get hard, they'll get tough. You know, when people start jumping ship, don't run. Be faithful. Amen. Stick by that preacher. Stick by your church. Amen. Stand by one another. Amen. Be faithful. Amen. Even when it gets tough. Amen. Look a little further down. Well, we already read the scriptures here, but I mean, things get rough down here in Egypt. And it says, it came to pass, he says, they'll see you and they'll see your good look and they're going to kill me, but they'll take you, they'll save you. Amen. I mean, it was getting tough. And don't just be faithful till there's friction from the world. Amen. Sometimes that world, man, it'll seem like that pressure's coming in on you. It's making things tough. And you know, that pressure to compromise and give in. Hey, stay faithful to God. Amen. Yeah. We used to hear all the time, you know, people say, well, everybody's doing it. Well, I'm not, so everybody's not. Amen. Don't just be faithful till there's friction. Listen, that devil, that world, they're out to get you. Amen. The devil wants to get you with his devices. Amen. And boy, he's got a lot of Christians. You know, it's no wonder they call all these, you know, little computers they have now, like notebooks and cell phones. It's no wonder they're called devices. They got people so snared. Amen. We walk through that airport and in the airplanes now, and it used to be everybody'd read a book. Now everybody's playing Angry Birds on their little computers. It's ridiculous. I mean, grown adults sitting there. Everywhere. You walk back and use the washroom on that plane, and everybody's sitting there. It's crazy, man. It's the devices, amen. Devices. Amen. Everybody feels the pressure to get on Facebook. I don't feel that pressure. Amen. I don't need to be that connected. Amen. You know, I had it for about 2 weeks and I realized, man, I do not want to be that connected. Amen. I found out, I saw pictures of people, man, I didn't want to see that. Amen. I just don't need that. Maybe you do. Maybe that's what, you know, turns your crank and gets you going. But I don't need that. You know what I found? We got on that thing. You know, the only people that wanted to talk to me was girls. Women. Married women. Amen. There's no guys there waiting to be my friend. I thought, good night. My wife saw that and she said, I don't think we need to have that. Amen. I said, amen. Amen. But everybody, they feel, you know, the world is just pressing in on us. And little by little, we're giving in. Little by little, we're giving up. And little by little, we're giving out. Amen. Just quit. Amen. Don't just be faithful till you feel that friction from the world. Amen. You know, the Lord told Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Man, that ought to put a little fight in you. That world, the devil, he desires to have you. Amen. He's just looking for a way to get you. He wants to sift you. Amen. You know, sifting separates. He just wants to separate you from the church. He wants to separate you from the preacher. He wants to separate you from that book. He wants to separate you from the standards you've held to all these years. Amen. He just wants to break you down and wear you out. Amen. And he's doing a good job. Amen. Doing a good job. Don't just be faithful till you feel the friction from the world. Amen. Look over there in chapter 13. It says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And you notice that he got all that stuff in Egypt now. Amen. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, and that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. And there was a strife. There was a strife. Amen. You know, some people are only faithful until they get filled up with blessings. You know, that's the way I find a lot of camp meetings are. You know, you go through that week and God just pours the blessings on you. Amen. You're shouting the victory. You're riding the glory cloud. And that's, I don't know how it is here, but I find sometimes that Sunday after that meeting's over is the worst Sunday you had all year. Everybody's wore out. Nobody shows up. They forgot how to shout in 24 hours. Amen. I mean, they're so filled up with blessings, they just quit. Man, that's frustrating, amen. You feel like you got to have one of the camp meeting preachers stay over and preach that Sunday after, else nobody will come. Nobody will shout, amen. They won't sing the same way they sang. Amen. Some people, they're only faithful until they're filled. And then they just let themselves get completely drained before they try and fill up again. Amen. There's, Brother Combs, you sing that song, Drinking from My Saucer. Most people have no idea what that's about. You get filled up and then you just let this world drain you dry. And then you try and rehydrate again. Amen. You ever try and put juice back in a raisin? Once it's a prune, man. It doesn't come back. And sometime that's going to happen to some of you Christians. You're just going to dry up and you won't be able to get any juice back. Amen. You're just dead. Amen. We've seen that happen. Amen. That's the camp meeting junkies. And then they just run from this one to the next one trying to get their next high, but they don't have any of that day to day. Amen. Some people, they're just faithful until they get filled up with the blessing. And you know, here, for whatever reason, I mean, God prospered them down there. They both, you know, Lot and Abram, they were made rich. I mean, they had everything you could think they'd ever want. And all of a sudden, something happened. The land couldn't hold them, and there are all kinds of strife going on. Amen. They're fighting, and they decided we got to separate ways. Amen. Man, some of you might be in danger. You know, you're looking to get filled up this week, but that's where it's going to end. When Saturday comes, your balloon's going to pop. Amen. Don't just be faithful to God while He's blessing you. Amen. You be faithful to God, period. Amen. And then let me give you this last one over in chapter 22, verse 1. Says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. I got three sons, and I love them. And here God tells Abraham to take that one son, that son that he loved, and offer him as a burnt offering. And it says in verse 3 that Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two young men with him, and Isaac his son, and went. Amen. Don't just be faithful till your faith is tested. Amen. Don't just be faithful till your faith is tested. Man, I can't even imagine having to do, you know, what God asked of Abraham. I mean, I don't know if you've ever thought of this, but whatever would have happened to Abraham if he just decided, I won't go. I'm not going to do that. Man, and I've seen that time and time again. You know, we grew up in a church full of, you know, we had the same preaching, we had the Christian school, we got all the same teaching, everything. And, you know, there's some that said, you know what, God, you take my children and do with them whatever you want me to do. And there's some that wouldn't make that sacrifice, but they're making it now.
Amen.
They're paying the price now.
Man, right.
Don't just be faithful to God till He tests your faith.
Man.
Amen. Look over in Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17, look at verse 3. It says, the finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. You know, we don't have any trouble being faithful when everything's going well, but as soon as God just wants to test our faith. You know, faith is an unpopular thing. And you see how this world and this ecumenical crowd have tried to change what faith is. You know, they try and call, you know, religion as a whole, it's a faith. Well, faith is an action. Faith is something you do. They try to make it something that is. But faith is something you do every day. Amen? You know, don't just be faithful to God till He tests your faith. The Lord wants to know maybe what you're like, going to be like under pressure. Amen? I mean, how far will your faithfulness to God take you? Will it just take you as far as, you know, as long as my family's okay, and, as long as my wife is happy, and as long as everything's going smoothly, and little Johnny's happy, and, you know, they got the right youth program, and they got the right, you know, Sunday schools, and as soon as that preacher does that, or as soon as that, I'm out of here. Is that how long your faithfulness to God will last? Till your family opposes you? Amen? Or how about just until there's famine in the land? Well, there must be something wrong, and so-and-so left. No, they just weren't right with God. Amen? Are you just going to be faithful to God until there's a famine? Well, Lord, I'll stay as long as You're blessing me. Or until there's some friction from the world, until the pressure just becomes a little bit too much and you can't handle it anymore. Or maybe you just be faithful to God until He's filled you up with blessings, until you've used Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. We're good at just using people.
Yeah.
Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, they just use one another. You think you can use God, you know? And He fills you up, and He blesses you, and He gives you what you ask for, and then that's enough for you. You just shut it off. Is that as long as you'll be faithful to God? Or until your faith is tested? Until He asks something of you that you don't think you can do? Until you refuse to give Him something that He asked for? You say, God, I'll go with You as long as You don't ask this of me. Lord, I'll surrender. I'll go to that mission field as long as it's not that mission field. Lord, I'll preach, but as long as You don't make me do that. Or I'll go there as long as it's not over there till Your faith is tested. Lord, I'll tithe. I'll give that missions commitment, you know, until you take my job, or until you just, you know, until I don't get that raise. I mean, how far will your faithfulness to God take you?